6000 for 10,000.
270, climb to 12,000, South 1063.
Since you mentioned Ed Snyder, talk about the guy in charge right now.
Ah, yes, Hilferty. You wanted to get into him. Please, please.
Dan Hilferty. Now, to start, always start positive. He is night and day better than fucking Dave Scott. There's no question about it. Like, it's not even close. I get it. At the same time, I'm kind of getting sick of him. I'm getting sick of seeing him walking around and shaking hands. And I'm getting sick of him going into the dressing room and all this stuff. And listen, if he wants to do that stuff, by all means, you go, Dan Hilferty, not Esh. Do your thing. But I'm more sick of the fact that all the reporters and the Flyers website and everything, they want to make it a point to take pictures of this guy every time he's doing something Snyder-esque. And with, you know, coming from the horse's mouth, the guy basically said in his press conference, I'm not Ed Snyder. I'll never be Ed Snyder. I can't be Ed Snyder. I can only be myself and do the best job that I can. Basically is what he said. And it's true. Like, what else do they want him to be like Ed in? Do they want him to start a foundation for underprivileged youth in Philadelphia? Do they want him to do that too? What else are they going to do? Are they going to show him in the owner's luxury box, standing up and willing the team to victory? Are they going to be doing that too? What else are they going to be doing? Is he going to come up with a story and a song and dance about how he grew up in the grocery store business in Washington, D.C., and how he went and started selling records from the back of his car, from the trunk of his car, riding up and down the interstate and stocking up all those shelves and selling records? Is he going to come up with that too? What else is he going to do? Is he going to be calling the goal judge and demanding to talk to the referee for a fucking phantom high stick call? Is he going to be doing stuff like that too? I like Hilferty. Don't get me wrong. But I'm sick of everybody trying to make him Ed Snyder. Because he's not. See, and to illustrate my point, I was given part of my Valentine's Day gift was I've got a bunch of Oreo cookies here. And they're not regular Oreo cookies. They're called Space Dunk Cosmic Cream Oreo cookies.
Oh, they got weed in them?
No. Although it's Canada, they probably do. They're an Oreo cookie, but instead of the white cream that everybody loves, you know, that classic, you know, the Ed Snyder that everyone loves, instead they put this blue and red fucking carcinogenic fucking shit in here. I don't even know what this is, but I'm going to eat one on the show here, because this Cosmic Cream Oreo is like Dan Hilferty. Because you see, it's still an Oreo. He is still the head honcho of the Philadelphia Flyers. But it doesn't have the white cream inside. You know, the thing that makes the Oreo. You know, Snyder and how he made the Flyers the Flyers. Him copying and doing things like Ed doesn't make him Ed. And I'm not trying to blame Hilferty for this, because Hilferty is going to be Hilferty. It's about the Flyers website. It's about the beat reporters. It's about everybody taking pictures of him going around and doing, and wow, look, he's shaking hands with fans. Yeah, great. That's good. He's talking to the plebs. Good. Yeah. He wants to sell season tickets too. He's not an idiot.
It's a PR stunt.
He's doing the exact opposite of Stone Cold Dave Scott, the guy that fucking had zero personality and wouldn't interact with anybody.
Horrendous.
Right? So this Oreo with the blue and red cream in it, I'm sure it still tastes good. And it does, because I've had one before. But I'll have one right now again. And it also has fizzy popping candy inside as well. Wow. So it's got all these gimmicks. And it's still an Oreo cookie, but it's very gimmicky. And it's not really an Oreo cookie. That's kind of like Dan Hilferty in comparison to Ed Snyder. Still good, but it ain't the original, folks. It never will be.
That is quite possibly the strangest analogy I've ever heard on this show.
Well put. This is the Dan Hilferty of Oreos. Yeah, it's great. That was really good. Yeah, I mean, I can see exactly what you're saying, Manny. I think what they're doing this year is it is a way overreaction to the lack of involvement and visibility that Dave Scott has. And it's just way overkill to kind of reset the status quo as to what the relationship of the owner is to the fans and stuff. And I can see why that is rather over the top and stuff. I do think they're going to need to probably scale that back a little bit, because they're kind of like they're shooting their shot too hard in this first year, and you can't operate a team. Like, the owner can't go down and shake hands with the players like every time, you know, they beat the Islanders 2-1 or something. It's just it's just not feasible to do that, because then it takes the meaning away of his presence in there and stuff and why he's there, and it becomes routine and just it's just a comical thing of itself. So I think they're going to have to figure out a way to, you know, maybe tone that back and kind of choose their moments a little bit more than just trying to be, you know, a PR face all the time. And that's honestly kind of what he was with a lot of his other roles, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield and the other CEO and C-suite roles that he's had. Is it is very public relations related. It's just, you know, I'm going to be an infomercial, or I'm going to, you know, talk to our investors and, you know, at events and stuff. And like, it's very out in front sort of thing. And I think the owner of sports franchise has some overlap there, but I think that the scrutiny on it is a little bit different because the businesses are different. So he can't just be the cheerleader, because he's going to look like an idiot if he keeps doing this into next year. But again, I agree with you. I think he is light years ahead of a Dave Scott in terms of, sure, you know, his ability to stay involved and his communication skills. I think that's incredibly important. Now, the thing is, you know, he has no experience being an owner and calling the shots and hiring and firing at the front office level in sports. And ultimately, that's really what an owner needs to be very good at and understand when to fire and when to hire. So far, you know, it's year one. When adversity hits, or he sees the team isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, what's he going to be doing at that point? You know, same thing with Keith Jones. You know, his first time as an executive in any capacity, whether it's in a sports league or business whatsoever, also problematic. Same thing with the general manager. And, you know, we've been through this song and dance before, but it just kind of bleeds in here. It's like, we'll see what happens in a couple of years, but it is going to be really difficult for, I think, this particular group to function through adversity given their lack of experience in the industry.
It's just a PR stunt. When you have the guy down there shaking hands and kissing babies just like Ed Snyder used to do. It's the same reason they brought back the Van Halen goal song and the double center ice logos. You're trying to fucking pander and make it like it used to be rather than trying to build for the future. You know, and it's fine and it's great, and he's more hands-on than Dave Scott was. What a low fucking bar that is to clear. But at the end of the day, it's just that. It's a PR move. He goes down there when all the media's in the scene shaking hands. So I have all these fucking idiots take that picture, put it on social. Look at Hilferty shaking Konechny's hand after they beat the Islanders in overtime. Woo-hoo! Wow! Fuck! Who cares? You know, like, I get what they're trying to do. They're trying, it's the culture in the room, and the Flyers are the Flyers again. We're not going away. We're coming back, as Keith Jones says. Fuck off! I just don't care. Yes, it's completely overrated, and it's stuff that, you know, When the heat's on the franchise because your idiot general manager and head coach can't figure out how to build a competitive team, will this guy still be out there shaking hands and answering questions from the heated fan base then? Or is he going to go back to the crypt that Dave Scott left behind in the fucking C-suite there to crawl into? We shall see when it becomes questionable time. But yeah, for now, it's just a goddamn cheap heat PR stunt.
Manny's PR firm has got some advice for Dan Hilferty. Don't try to be Dan Ed Snyder, okay? Be different.
Or Dan Snyder, for that matter.
Yeah, or Dan Snyder, yeah, for sure. He's way better than Dan Snyder, okay? Let's put that out there, too, okay? I don't want to be too – I don't want to bash Hilferty. It's more about bashing the people who want to make Hilferty Ed Snyder, and he's not Ed Snyder. You got to be different, Dan. You got to be different. Forget shaking hands. I want you to go and blow Garnet Hathaway in the middle of the locker room. That's how you're going to be different. Go ahead.
Dan Hilferty shows his appreciation to Garnet Hathaway's three fights in one game by sucking him off in the locker room afterward. Picture courtesy of your friendly favorite Flyers podcast. It's like, okay.
What? You were named first star of the game? Okay, that's a handy.
And Mark Stahl's over there just losing his shit.
Gosh. They better not bring Jerry Mayhew back, because next thing you know it, he's gonna start having some Dave Scott as how about Yoo-hoo boy over there?
Dave Scott's gonna be in there giving them the Hummer.
Yeah.
How about that Jerry Mayhew?
God. Can you imagine that moron even mentioned that at a press conference?
Oh, God.
God, it's even worse now thinking about it than it was when it happened. And it was bad when it happened.
Yeah. Oh, man. What was he thinking that day?
No. Yeah. What do you think Val Camillo's up to these days?
I was thinking about her the other day, and I don't have any update. I tried looking up what she's up to, and I thought I don't see anything.
I guess the speculation was that she was going to be returning to the Washington, D.C. area, which is where she's from originally, hence her work with the Nationals for a period of time before the Flyers, and that she was going to be involved with the Washington Commanders because Josh Harris, the owner of the Sixers, has a relationship with her from their time, you know, at the Wells Fargo Center together. And Harris now owns the Commanders and will be giving her some sort of a very, very high level role with them. That hasn't happened yet. And the only thing I can think of is that she had some sort of non-compete clause in her contract, and that she, I don't know, like had an out in her contract where she could quit. I have no idea if she even had a contract, but that's the only thing I can potentially think of that would prevent her from, you know, getting into another high profile role that we'd be hearing about right now, because it is rather bizarre. You know, she was part of the three or four headed, whatever it was, during the introductory press conference with Jones and Briere and Hilferty. And then like a week later, after all the pomp and circumstance about how unified and connected they are and committed to the future and all that fucking horse shit, a week later, she's out. I mean, it looked terrible then, and thinking about it now, it just looks horrendous. But yeah, I haven't heard anything either. I think she's been laying low. The only thing I can think of is there may be some sort of non-compete clause, you know, that's at issue.
So she's got nothing on her LinkedIn as far as what she seems to be doing these days. So it's probably not working for anybody. Yeah, but the rumor at the time is she's going back to the Commanders. So whether it's some non-compete or she couldn't have done it because she's still on her Comcast contract or some shit that wasn't there, or, yeah, whatever it was, probably something along those lines why she hasn't taken that job yet. But yeah, it doesn't look like she's actively employed by anybody at the moment.
Yeah. So, well, maybe the Flyers bring her back. Maybe they say, hey, you know what? We still have, you know, a C-suite level position opened, and we could use you, Val.
Speaking of people who are unemployed or likely soon to be, what's up with Ian LaPerriere? Do you think that we asked this months ago, by the way, and we were discussing Ian LaPerriere and what's going on in Lehigh Valley before anybody else.
Yeah.
And is this the year? Is this the year where Danny Briere finally says, puts on his big boy pants and has to fire somebody? Or is that what Alan McCauley's for? He's gonna do the grunt work and go and fire Ian LaPerriere, because I don't know, man. Hearing you talk about Lehigh Valley and great power play and everything, and vastly underperforming and disappointing again this season, a year that they really should have shown improvement.
The Phantoms are such a fascinating case study of, they're playing their young guys. All the young guys are getting a ton of minutes on the whole and succeeding. But the team in general just lacks any kind of palpable depth. And it puts... Is LaPerriere the best coach for the Phantoms? No, probably not. I think you could do better. But if they just go out and replace him with another dollar a fucking dime a dozen guy, then I don't think there's going to be any marked improvement. This is a roster problem right now. Versus, like, your young guys, Tuomala, Lexell, Andre Attard, those have been the players that are succeeding. Lexell, when he's around, Lazinski was having the best season of his career. He's missed quite a few weeks now with injury. You know, Cooper Marody's the only veteran on the team that's really kind of stepping up and playing well. Everybody else it's just not there. You know, Adam Brooks and Rhett Gardner are not a substantial 1-2 punch down the middle, especially with Lazinski out. You know, on the whole, the young guys are playing. It's just the depth. And I put that more at the feet of Breer and McCauley, whoever's technically making the call to sign these guys, than I do Ian LaPerriere. So, you know, taking a look at the roster here, I don't know which prospects are coming up. I would need to look into who's, you know, making the leap this year. But, you know, Brooks is gone. Lazinski's gone. Marody's gone, which is going to be a big fucking problem. Victor Mete's gone. You know, I just don't really know what to make of the Phantoms. I think a lot of this is just they did not sign the proper people to put them in better positions to succeed, because the young guys are succeeding. Like, with the exception of Zayd Wisdom, and that's more in LaPerriere's got some fucking problem with Wisdom. He has for the better part of a year now. But on the whole, the young guys are succeeding, which is the point of the Phantoms, right? Their power play's top of the league because of the young guys. They're scoring regular strength. But when those young guys are shut down for the game, or they're not playing, or whatever the case is, an injury, call-up, there just is not enough talent on that team to kind of make it. And that seems the bigger problem to me. So you could fire LaPerriere. I'm not necessarily going to defend this guy. But he did carry them to the playoffs last year for the first time in 5 years. On the whole, the development both last season and this season has been very good with most of the young guys, but the roster just is not built in any kind of meaningful competitive way. Believe it or not, it's almost like this is the same fucking problem the Flyers have right now. But, yeah, I mean, does LaPerriere get fired if they miss the playoffs? Maybe. I think he probably just gets promoted within the organization somewhere if I was more of a betting man. But, you know, the Phantoms, they could make the playoffs. Oh, it's not impossible. But it's also, we're getting into crunch time here, and they need to get their shit together, and it's not looking great. So I don't really know what happens with this team from here on out, but it is very possible that LaPerriere gets fired. But without some serious roster overhauls, I don't really know if it matters right now.
Mm-hmm. What's the expectation on him? Like, what is the purpose of, I guess, an AHL coach, but like within the context of the Flyers and Phantoms organization? You know, to me, his purpose is to figure out a way to develop the young players and make them as NHL ready as possible, as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And it seems that, and like, I don't, you know, think, I mean, the guy is a genius, you know, let's get that out of the way. Of course, LaPerriere is a fucking prodigy. But
all of human evolution has gone through millions of years in order to get to this point, which is Ian LaPerriere.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a given. So, you know, he seems to be, based upon, you know, what Dan has mentioned, you know, some of the things I've seen about some of the prospects, they seem to be taking steps. And I think the problem really is, I think it's a Tortorella problem again. I think it comes back to him, is that he has this wall built up where it's the preference for the veteran players. The young guys from the Phantoms don't know my system yet. The team is succeeding this year. We're trying to get a playoff spot. We don't have time for them. There's a confluence of those things going on that's creating this wall where even if LaPerriere is doing a great job with the prospects, and the prospects are or should be graduating at the level that we expect them to, Torts is saying, nope, I've got my guys here. Just keep them down there. And yep. That is going to be the big problem here when we move forward. And it's already an issue in year one of a fucking rebuild, and you've got such a backlog. Yeah.
If the Flyers were rebuilding and actually playing their prospects and bring Lexell, Andre, and Adderd were up in the NHL and gone, like they should be right now, except they're not. You know, if the prospect integration was better on the organization as a whole, that team would be in serious trouble right now because the young guy is the only thing keeping them afloat.
Mm-hmm. And that's not bad. I mean, if the HL affiliate, you know, suffers at some point because all the good players, you know, move up to the NHL team within a short period of time, that's probably a good thing for the organization. But that's the measure of success, not, you know, necessarily, you know, whether the AHL team, you know, wins the Calder Cup or not, but it's that graduation and integration, as you mentioned, Dan, of the players in there. And there's just a roadblock. I think Torts is a roadblock in this situation. I mean, what experience does he have fucking rebuilding anything? Like he didn't do it in Tampa Bay. He didn't do it in Vancouver. Didn't do it, in Columbus at all. So what track record does he have to show that he is the coach that is able to graduate and integrate young talent into a roster?
There's no evidence of it thus far.
So here's my point is, even if LaPerriere is doing the right thing, and he may be doing fine, even if you had the perfect AHL coach down there that is doing everything right and the players are succeeding wildly, I still think there's the John Tortorella roadblock, again, where he's also not instituting a system down there. So players don't know what the fuck they're doing when they come up with this team because there's no communication with
what
Torts
and his coaches
are doing.
And they're not
given
opportunities
down there either.
When Ollie Lexell's
and that as well. Yeah.
Top line left wing, and then you call him up and he's 4C all of a sudden. Of course, you know, they're set up to fail.
With no power play time.
With no power play time, Brink the same thing. You know, when Brink's a top six right wing, and then he comes up and he's playing fourth line right wing, you know, you're setting your guys up to fail. I don't give a fuck if Al Arbor was behind the bench in Lehigh Valley. It doesn't matter if there's no prospect integration in the rest of the organization, which is the big problem.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the big thing. Yeah, and when does Briere put his foot down? Because I can tell already that it's a problem. Yeah. I mean, they haven't announced it or anything, but it's pretty obvious when you have guys like Russ Cohen who's calling it out. I mean, you see it, Dan, with you know, your season tickets and your ability to watch the Phantoms on a pretty much daily and game by game basis, and also just from us looking at it from a high level, like that's what a rebuilding team does. Like, you need to do that, and if you're just removing that element from your rebuild, then you're stuck in the mud. And I'm pretty sure that the front office, that Briere is noticing that. I have no idea what to extent Jonesy is, but I'm sure that Briere is noticing that to some extent. And does he have the fortitude to put his foot down and say, it's fucking ridiculous, like, we're not doing this? But again, it goes back to, you know, the extent of Torts' influence, and if Briere has an actual plan he's going to abide by.
If none of your young guys are going to play in the NHL, at least build a successful environment for them in the AHL. Like...
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Try build the Phantoms into a perennial team. The Hershey goddamn Bears, they're practically undefeated this year. They've lost, what, 10 times total or something like that? And those are the Washington Capitals. You're breeding success for those prospects for a team that's near a rebuild status. You know, there's no reason why the Phantoms should be floundering because they cheap out on their, you know, veteran depth that's there. They should be building the Phantoms into a perennial playoff team. And yeah, they can be led by the prospects, but when the rest of the roster just completely fails them, that's not the coach's fault. That's not the prospect's fault. That's either Alan McCauley or Danny Briere, whoever was calling the shots on roster construction and building that team up. That's their failure, why they're not competing right now.
I just find it interesting, Dan, since you said that, like, the NHL team was supposed to be for young players making the team this year if they're ready, quote unquote. You've got a coach who is a rah-rah kind of guy, but he also does know his systems and X's and O's and things like that. And he's got a good assistant in Brad Shaw, who's really defensively detailed with structure, right? What ends up happening is the announced rebuild and all these young players on the NHL roster, it doesn't really work out that way. And they bring in a ton of veteran presence because they want the vets to really lead the way and show the young guys how it's going to be done and improve the culture in the room, and the team's doing well. Whether or not it's sustainable in future years is up for grabs. But then you go to the AHL, and you've got Lappi's a rah-rah guy who's going to teach these guys the right way to play because he stopped pucks with his teeth back in the day. Not from what I can see anyways, as an X's and O's guy. Who's their assistant coach?
Jason Smith and some guy. I don't remember who replaced Riley Armstrong.
So I don't know if Jason Smith is an X's and O's guy either, but at least he would know how to play defense. Whether or not he can teach how to play defense and stuff is a different story. But they're going heavy with the young guys. And Dan, from what you're saying, the veteran presence in Lehigh is garbage.
Non-existent.
The guys that they brought in, non-existent. So the team can't get its footing and can't go. And then when you do pluck these guys due to injury or whatever and bring them into the NHL, they don't have structure. They don't have the vets and they don't fit the NHL mold. And then basically it's John Tortorella says, you know what, this is garbage. Send them down. And you're not really helping anything. So Lehigh is a big problem.
Yeah. Ian LaPerriere is the head coach. Riley Armstrong is still listed as an assistant, though I'm pretty sure he's serving whatever role McCauley was in before, player development or something like that. Jason Smith, Bill Downey as well is their other assistant coach, and their goaltending coach is Brady Robinson. Bill Downey listed as director.
Is there a salary cap in the AHL?
I don't think there's a salary cap, but there's all kinds of complicated systems about how many veterans you're allowed to have and what percentage of players need to be rookies and shit like that. So I don't think there's a direct salary cap, but there are rules as far as what your roster is supposed to look like.
So is that mostly from like an age standpoint, Dan? Like those restrictions have to do with age and years of service?
I believe so. Like you can only have, I think, 4 or 5 guys over a certain age in the lineup at any given time and stuff like that. So,
okay. Yeah, because I'm just wondering, like, you know, talking about, you know, making the team better and stuff. I'm like, why just fucking get some like halfway over the hill NHL player, just dump a bunch of money in and be like, hey, we'll give you $5 million a year to go play for the Phantoms. I mean, who fucking cares if if you're pissing money and hey, like, I don't know, get some guys that are on the verge of retiring, but still have, you know, some gas left in the tank and see what they can do with the Phantoms and give them a nice fat salary more than they'd make in the NHL and see if they'll bite. I don't know.
And they've leaned so hard. Like, you know, Justin Bailey was a good example. Phil Verone, players like that, that, you know, they're kind of memes when it comes to the land of the Flyers, but they were top younger AHL guys and contributed to that success of that team, you know, 5, 6 years ago now. They don't have that. Their captain is Garrett Wilson, who is an enforcer. You know, a lot of these random ECHL guys aren't doing it. Like, again, Brooks and Garner just have not been a decent center duo. Like, it's just... it's a rather underwhelming group of players on this roster, and they just have not gone out of their way to add 2 or 3 key veteran pieces that make any kind of sense. And, you know, they handed the blue line over to the defense this season, with the exception of fucking Victor Mete, who I just cannot fathom is on this roster for any particular reason. But it's just, it's a really, really underwhelming group. Cooper Marody, the only veteran, he's 39 points in 47 games. He leads the team in points. He's third in goals, it looks like. So it just, beyond that, it's been all kids. It's been Tuomala, 37 points in 47 games. Ole Lekstrand, 28 points in 33 games when he's been there. Lezinski had 26 points in 33 games before he got hurt. Andre, 25 points. Adder, 24 points. Like, it's just, it's been exclusively young guys. Even Wade Allison's come up over the last month. He has 17 points in 41 games, which doesn't sound good, but considering a lot, at least 3/4 of those points have happened over the last 6 weeks or so. You know, it just, they just don't have the depth to make that team worth a shit, and they really, really need to overhaul it. So they can fire LaPerriere. They can keep him, fire him, whatever the case is. One way or another, this roster needs to be taken care of with some kind of legitimacy this summer if they want to have any success. And I don't understand, especially if the goal is to not play any of your prospects at the NHL, at least build up a successful environment. There's no reason you have all these guys in here, you know, Tuomala, Andre Adderzmull, and they're just never going to play him, and they're going to miss the playoffs. That's so stupid. Like, what is the purpose? Does any of that serve then?
And as Dan said, what's the point? What's the point of keeping hoarding these draft selections and then there's no place to put these guys because you're not moving the pipeline forward?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's going to be guys that need to go to the AHL next year and there's going to be room for them. But after that, if guys don't start to filter through, if they re-sign Walker, Seeler, you know, and don't trade anybody, then there's going to be a backlog where these guys aren't moving and they're stuck in the A. Then what? I'm sorry, they got to start making decisions on these guys, whether or not they want to keep them or whether they got to use them as, you know, cannon fodder to try to get somebody else.
You know, it's been so weird over the years watching this team, even in the Hextall days, and they didn't really do any of this in early Holmgren territory either because they didn't really have this mentality. But like I don't see a lot of trades. Like, you know, you look at the Tuomalas and the Adderds and, you know, some of the prospects that Dan had mentioned that seem to be, you know, really taking that next step in the AHL and are have promise here. I'm curious, like, the value that those guys have at this stage. Like, obviously if you brought them up to the NHL, they had some success, you know, or they start to get on NHL GM's radar, but like, where they're at now, is there value in like taking a couple of those guys and trying to trade them for somebody? Other GMs value that sort of stuff, or are they just still just nobodies?
I think specifically in the case of Tuomala and Andre, I think those two would be the most valuable because they're both rookies and they're both exceeding. Tuomala was an all-star. Andre probably should have been. I think those two probably have value. Adderd and like Lexell, I think those are more like rehab like if you guys want to, they're throw-ins in a trade as kind of the rehab project versus necessarily Adderd himself having a ton of actual trade value because they stomped it out because they never gave him a fucking NHL opportunity, you see. But yeah, I think the younger guys, the rookie guys that are excelling have that ones. The ones that have 2 or 3 years of experience under their belt are probably more throw-in pieces in a trade of like, hey, if you want to play Adderd at the NHL and succeed, you know, then you have that opportunity. But as far as value individually, I don't think those two are particularly high at this point.
Yeah, so like, yeah, they'd be, I guess any of them could be throw-ins, you know, with bigger deals, you know. If a team is interested in Tuomala, the Flyers, you know, package as Scott Laughton and Tuomala and a first round pick for somebody. It's just, you know, something like that. But like another team would actually want, because we just haven't seen, the Flyers have had no movement at all, really, with any prospect that has any potential whatsoever at any point over the past
10 years.
I don't know, 13 years. Yeah. Like that movement has been zero.
No.
Nothing. Like we saw what? German Rupsov moved, but that, you know, he was completely off the fucking map.
Well, they had squeezed all the blood of that stone
in the Drew trade.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what, who the fuck was that other guy? Fucking years ago.
Torinsky was in there.
It's inconsequential.
And, you know, they lost all Big Kubel and waivers. And, you know, they get rid of some of those guys. But on the whole, it's like they never trade them when their value was high. They squeeze all the blood. They waste their careers. In German Rupsov's case, I mean, he was a piece of shit throughout the entirety of the AHL. But, you know, when he had first-round pick status in those early days in the AHL when it was already clear that he wasn't going to fucking be anything, if you traded him then, whatever that first year would have been, 17, 18, 18, 19, whatever it was, when they traded him then and he saw his first-round pick status before you proved that he was shit, you may have been able to have something there. He could have been a decent throw-in in a trade to make something. But yeah, by the time he was dealt in that Giroud trade, it was specifically just to get him the fuck off the books.
Yeah, because this goes back to, like, you guys were talking about, like, if you're going to block all these guys with the Sealers and the Walkers and the Ristolainens and, you know, the Stalls and, you know, the list goes on, then is there another mechanism to move them and create value from them rather than just them sitting with the Phantoms until they lose motivation, get injured, stop playing as well, just basically stop their professional hockey progression? I just haven't seen it with the Flyers. They just don't do that sort of thing. They're not interested in trading young players that are up and coming for whatever reason, because they don't develop them at the NHL either. So it's just a pointless shit cycle.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where my question comes from.
And even if they got rid of Walker, do they just replace Walker with another random vet NHL caliber defenseman, or do they actually try and integrate Andre? And if they just replace him with another fucking dude, they just bring a Nick Seeler 3.0 to throw on this team, and Andre's still on the outside looking in, then trade Andre and try and get something out of the guy. There's just stalling your own prospects for no good reason. It's not like, and this is the part of having the entire roster under contract in 24-25 already that really pisses me off. It's not like, okay, Andre, you served the season in the AHL, your first full year down there, you played great, you served the power play, you're going to get the recall at the beginning of next season, and you're on the team no matter what, and you're going to work through it. That's not going to fucking happen. He's not going to be there. Same thing with Tuomala. Doesn't matter how good Tuomala, Brink, and Lexell play down there. All 12-year forwards are already under contract. Tough shit. Your careers are over. You're stuck in the AHL. There's no movement. They're not going to make that movement. They're not going to go out of their way to get rid of Atkinson, Frost, and fucking Nick Deloria so they can call those three up and play him at the NHL. That's not going to happen. You've already sequestered these guys away. Their careers are over. So, yes, trade them. If the opportunity arises to be a throw-in in a trade to get you a higher draft pick, if you have to throw in Bobby Brink and a Scott Laughton trade to get a first-round pick back for him, fucking do it. Then use that first-round pick to package together and Trevor Zegras. Be smart about this. Wasting the, pissing away their careers with your prospects just for the sake of having them on there so you can hoard them but never actually do anything with them. It doesn't make any sense. If you're not going to rebuild through the prospects, then you need to make additions. You need to sell. You need to make trades. And your currency to do that is with these guys that you refuse to play at the NHL. Again, one of those concepts that should not be rocket science, but both the organization and fan base, whoosh, way over their fucking heads.
There's also a cruelty to it, too. Like,
absolutely.
It's one thing if you know that a guy isn't going to make the NHL, so why keep him in the AHL forever? Until his contract bleeds out, and then he's a 25, 26 year old guy, and he's got like no future.
Wade Allison,
gonna be,
perfect example. The guy started the season in the NHL,
I mean.
Should have been given an extra season, should have been bumped up the NHL lineup. Oh, just kidding, you're going to the AHL. And then everyone gets pissed off at him because he has fucking attitude problems. Yeah, I'd have attitude problems too if they pulled that shit to me. God, this topic drives me nuts. This prospect handling pisses me off.
It's really tough too, and I think it also goes back to the fact that, a lot of the players we're talking about are mid-tier to lower tier of the team, and that level is particularly difficult for young players to break through because there's always going to be cheaper veteran players or cheap veteran players that the franchise can look to that says, well, this guy already does the job adequately. So unless, Ronnie Addert comes out and looks like fucking Scott Niedermeyer or something, he's going to stay behind him. It's so hard to leapfrog when you're in that category and class of players in this organization specifically, because they can always look to the cheaper or
they can always bring
NHL
in Mark Stahl
vets.
Instead of giving Addert an opportunity.
Right. They can always have those guys and it'll always fit. And you can constantly do that. So it's just really difficult with the way the Flyers approach lowish tier and mid tier players. That is an almost unbreakable type of framework for these guys to get through. You have your upper tier players, which the organization just has basically none of and hasn't really had any of. over the years. They've had a couple of guys, you know, your Giroux, I guess, would be the highest end player this team has had in, gosh, you know, since fucking, I don't know, Peter Forsberg was here, but you know, it's just like, I think it's difficult for him. I think it's a really difficult wall, and that's kind of why we also see this level of suffocation at the AHL level.